Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to Quarter Three of 2018 JinkoSolar Holding Company Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you will need to press zero followed by one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Sebastian Liu. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for JinkoSolar's third quarter 2018 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on IR's website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Cao Haiyun, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Gener Miao, VP Global Sales, and Mr. Sebastian Liu, IR Director. Mr. Chen will discuss Jinko's business operations and company's highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Cao, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor provision of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements, except as required under the applicable law. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢。各位早上晚上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
本季度组件出货量创历史新高，达到2953瓦，同比增长5.7%，同比增长24.4%，营业收入9.748亿美金，同比增长10.5%。环比增长4.3%，本季度毛利率提升至14.9%，除去反补贴退税影响的毛利率为12.8%，相比上季度毛利率12.0%。
Module shipment hit a record high of 2,953 megawatts during the quarter, an increase of 5.7% sequentially, and an increase of 24.4% year over year. Total revenues were $974.8 million, an increase of 10.5% sequentially, and an increase of 4.3% year over year. Gross margin increased to 14.9%. Excluding the CVD reversal benefit, gross margin was 12.8%, compared with 12% of last quarter.
中国市场需求在武三幺新政后放缓，然而得益于公司强大的全球客户布局和优秀的品牌影响力。公司的业务持续增长，本季度海外组件出货占比约80%，四季度出货量预期将进一步增长27%到30%。目前公司的产品已供不应求，而与此形成鲜明对比的是，行业里很多公司的业务在下半年放缓，或已经削减全年的业绩指引。
Will Chinese demand soften following the May 31st policies, yet our business continue to grow.Thanks to our diverse global customer base and strong brand recognition. Overseas module shipment account for almost 80% of our total shipment during the quarter. Our products are now in short of supply, with shipments expected to increase another 27 to 30% in Q4. This contrasts with most of our peers who are seeing their business slow down during the second half of the year or are cutting their four-year guidance.
尽管受到五三幺新政的不利影响，截至九月底，中国新增装机量仍达到34.5G瓦，已高于一些分析师的全年预期。而近期政策面的积极变化，让我们看到明年中国市场复苏的希望。 尤其是国家能源局11月初举行的太阳能产业研讨会发出的积极信号，包括可能大幅增加“十三五”规划的光伏装机目标，以及表态不会对太阳能补贴实行一刀切，旨在帮助行业从政策驱动平稳过渡到平价驱动。更多的政策细节也有望在未来陆续发布。作为行业领导者，我们将继续把国内重点放在领跑者项目和光伏扶贫项目上，并在未来抓住日益增多的平价项目的机遇。我们坚定看好明年的国内市场需求。
Despite the negative impact from the May 31st policies, China installed 34.5 gigawatts by the end of September, which is already higher than some analysts' forecast for the entire year. Recent positive change from policy side are providing support for a possible rebound in Chinese demand for next year, especially the solar industry symposium held by the NEA at the beginning of November, which discussed a possible huge increase in the current five-year plan target, and the statement that the cut-off of solar subsidy will not be once for all, aimed to support the smooth transition from a policy-driven industry to a grid parity-driven one. More detailed policies are also expected to be announced in the near future. As the industry leader, we will continue to focus on the top-runner projects and the poverty alleviation projects, and will take advantage of the increasing opportunity for the grid parity project. We are firmly confident that the Chinese demand will return next year.
美国市场方面，美国国税局近期明确了针对新建太阳能项目的安全港政策，对于2019年8月31日前开建的，并在2024年之前投资使用的太阳能项目，开发商将有资格获得30%的投资税收抵免。这将进一步推动美国明年的需求。我们将利用海外产能，包括美国工厂的优势，以及公司强大的品牌知名度、产品和服务优势，继续扩大公司在美国市场的领先地位。印度保障性关税的影响只是短期的，印度政府野心勃勃的太阳能计划仍在推进，而印度市场仍将高度依赖中国制造太阳能产品，公司将相应调整市场战略，增加当地市场份额。东南亚和大洋洲的市场迅速增长，尤其是越南和澳大利亚，晶科的产品在当地非常受欢迎。随着市场的持续扩大，我们已做好充分准备，实现可持续的长期增长。在平价上网的驱动下，欧洲和拉美市场也显示出新的机遇。后续间内将介绍更详细的情况。
Turning to the U.S., the IRS recently issued safe harbor rules for the new solar projects.Developers who began building solar energy projects by December 31, 2019 and put them in service before 2024 will be eligible for 30% investment tax credit, which is expected to further drive U.S. demand for next year. We will leverage our overseas manufacturing capacity, including our U.S. production facility, as well as our strong brand recognition and advantages of our products and services,to further expand our presence in the U.S. The safeguard duty in the Indian market had a short-term impact, but the government's ambitious solar plan is still moving forward, which will heavily rely on the supply of Chinese solar products. We will adjust our strategy accordingly and increase our market share there. Southeast Asia and Oceania markets are growing fast, especially in Vietnam and Australia, where Jinko Solar products are sweeping the markets.We are well prepared to generate sustainable long-term growth as the market continues to grow. Driven by grid parity, European and Latin American markets are also showing new opportunities. I will let Jenna go over this in more details later.
技术方面，公司继续致力于高效技术的开发和应用，同时持续优化产品的成本结构。硅片端，我们在提升硅片转化效率、降低氧含量和刮伤方面均取得了持续进步。同时，我们在硅片的薄片化提升金刚线切割效率及降低线码方面均领先行业。电池端，公司实现了新一代 N 型 HOT 电池的技术突破，并进一步优化了 P 型复合电池结构，以提升电池效率。主线端，公司的略宝系列销售供不应求，72片单晶略宝组件量产功率已超过400瓦。此外，我们应用双面双波技术、叠瓦技术的高效产品。也满足了客户多样化的需求。 持续的技术进步不仅让公司能够为客户提供具有竞争力的高效产品，更重要的是，是我们有能力持续降低产品的成本。我们对未来进一步优化成本结构充满信心，并对未来的平价上网时代的来临做好了充分准备。
On the technology front, we continue to allocate resources toward the application of high efficiency technologies. We are constantly optimizing the cost structure of our products. On the wafer side, we continue to make progress in improving wafer efficiency and reducing both oxygen content and light-induced degradation. At the same time, we lead the industry in developing thinner wafers, improving efficiency of diamond wire cutting and reducing wire consumption. On the steel side, we made breakthroughs with the new generation of N-type hard steel and optimized the structure of our P-type perk steel to further improve its efficiency. On the module side, our Cheetah series are filling rapidly and in short of supply. Our 72 pieces mono perk Cheetah hit above 400 watts in power output during mass production. We are also rolling out high efficiency products applying bifacial double glass and shingling technology to meet clients' varying demands. We are happy to say that constant technological development has not only enabled us to provide our clients with competitive high efficiency products, but also allow us to sustainably cut costs. We are confident in our ability to further optimize our cost structure going forward and are fully prepared to enter the era of grid parity in the near future.
产能方面，公司的硅片、电子片和组件的内部产能在三季度末分别达到 9.2G瓦、6.5G瓦和10G瓦。我们预期2018年年底产能将分别达到9.7G瓦、7G瓦和10.8G瓦，其中包括5.7G瓦的单晶硅片产能以及4.2G瓦的 PERC 电子产能。
Turning to the manufacturing capacity, our internal wafer cell and module capacity reaching 9.2 gigawatts, 6.5 gigawatts, and 10 gigawatts respectively by the end of the third quarter. We expect to reach 9.7 gigawatts, 7 gigawatts, and 10.8 gigawatts respectively by the end of the year, of which approximately 5.7 gigawatts will be mono wafers and approximately 4.2 gigawatts will be PERC cells.
随着成本下降，光伏的竞争力优势日益凸显，我们对明年中国和全球的需求充满信心。光伏发展的大趋势是无法阻挡的，随着太阳能需求不断增长，公司正处于有利的位置。我相信公司有能力进一步扩大市场份额，从竞争中脱颖而出，进一步巩固我们的行业地位。
Overall, we are feeling confident about Chinese and global demand next year, and solar energy becomes more and more competitive.This trend is irreversible. We are now ideally positioned to benefit from the growth in solar energy, and I am confident in our ability to further expand our market share, distinguish ourselves from the competition, and consolidate our leading position in the industry.
话题交给张亮之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。基于当前的预期，2018年第四季度，公司组件出货量在3.7到4.0G瓦之间。2018年全年组件出货量在11.5到11.8G瓦之间。
Before turning the call over to Jenner, I will quickly go over our guidance. Based on the current estimate, total module shipments will be in the range of 3.7 to 4 gigawatts for the fourth quarter, and remain 11.5 to 11.8 gigawatts for the full year.
谢谢Sebastian。接下来，现在我将话题交给 Jenner。
Thank you, Sebastian. With that, I will turn it to Jim.
Thank you, Ms. Chen. In the third quarter, Jinko's products are selling well and have penetrated over 80 countries worldwide. Strong quarterly performance helped our module shipments to reach a record high volume of 2,953 megawatts. We expect this momentum to continue to grow in the fourth quarter.2019 is looking promising as well, as a big portion of our order book has already been filled. In terms of the shipment distribution by geography, during the third quarter, most shipments went to emerging markets, followed by Asia Pacific, China, North America, and Europe. We continue to see a steady expansion of our global footprint as we further reduce the risk of over-reliance on a single market. We are able to successfully achieve this due to our continued efforts on offering localized services along with a full range of product options tailored to client needs. As Ms. Chen mentioned, we remain optimistic about global demand growth next year, and we are confident in our ability to generate sustainable growth and strengthen our leadership position in the industry. Sentiment in China's solar market improved following the National Energy Administration meeting in early November 2018. The market now expects the original 13th five-year solar targets to be adjusted upwards and is waiting for the government to announce new policies supporting new installation targets and subsidies. Jinko plans to take advantage of this opportunity by focusing on the next round of top runner projects, poverty alleviation projects, as well as newly announced grid parity projects. China is fast approaching grid parity in many provinces. We will expand our market presence and promote the latest products and technologies to the world's number one market. The U.S. market continues to show good growth and high potential. Market ASPs remain stable during Q3. Internal Revenue Services Safe Harbor Rule guidance on 22nd June gave developers an additional 4 years to complete their projects in order to receive investment tax credit. The new law determines tax credits based on construction and commission date. Developers can enjoy up to 30% investment tax credit if they start construction before 2020 and the commission before 2024. This policy is expected to further stimulate demand in U.S. next year and beyond. Jinko's 2019 U.S. order book is looking very healthy with big orders already secured. Switching to Asia-Pacific region, we forecast a good demand in the Japanese market with 2019 installation target in the 6 to 7 gigawatt range as PV market gradually transits from a feed-in tariff to an auction model. Jinko Solar's products have been well received in several major markets in Southeast Asia and Oceania, especially in Vietnam, where the market is expected to install over 2 gigawatts next year. We anticipated and planned for the growth in Vietnam and are confident that we are ideally positioned to benefit from the long-term growth opportunity there. In the region, markets such as Malaysia and Thailand are also growing, showing good market potential next year. While the Indian safeguard duty announced in September creates some turbulence for the market, the government remains committed to its ambitious solar plans. According to the market intelligence, India is aiming for adding 10 to 11.5 gigawatts and 14.7 to 16.2 gigawatt installation target for 2018 and 2019 respectively, and reached the 2022 cumulative installation target from 175 gigawatt to 227 gigawatt. The depreciation of the local currency is creating some short-term pressure for developers, but we are optimistic about the long-term future of the Indian market and will closely monitor the situation there while adjust our strategy accordingly. European markets are doing well. Despite the short-term fluctuation of module prices after the expiration of minimum import price, we believe the development will actually accelerate the pace towards grid parity, resulting in an increased demand, especially in the UK, Italy, Spain, and Greece. In fact, many European countries are very close to grid parity or have already achieved it. Grid parity will bring about more demand across European countries. Emerging markets are gradually becoming the main drivers of global demand and accounted for the biggest portion of Jinko Solar's total shipment in Q3. This growth was driven by many factors, including large-scale applications of new technologies and products in Latin America, rapid growth in Mexico, and expansion of Brazil's DG market. Jinko Solar retained its market leadership in a number of Latin American, the Middle East, and African markets. We will leverage our cutting-edge products and extensive sales distribution network to promote our product in these regions. ASPs in Q3 decreased slightly compared to the previous quarter, but as Ms. Chen just mentioned, our continuous efforts to develop highly efficient products is helping us to cut costs and stay ahead of the market. As solar efficiency increases and the cost decreases, the competitiveness of solar energy versus other energy sources will improve and help increase the pace towards the grid parity. Jinko Solar continues to demonstrate that our product quality, technology, and reliability are leading the market. As a strong testimony of our efforts, Bloomberg New Energy Finance, again in this quarter, named Jinko Solar as the most bankable PV manufacturer for the second consecutive year. Also, for the first time, we received the Best Brand of the Year award by the World Brand Forum. The growing list of accolades awarded to Jinko Solar reflects the recognition of our brand, our products, and our strong position in the market. We continue to build and develop new marketing and technological capabilities during the quarter. After launching our new flagship Cheetah series in Q2, Jinko Solar attended 9 exhibitions and 35 conferences worldwide as part of our promotional efforts in Q3. We also hosted 15 major customer events and 115 co-marketing events with key partners across the globe. These global marketing events allowed us to reach new and existing customers and educate them on our high-quality products with cutting-edge technology. With that, I will turn it over to Charlie.
Thank you, Jeter. I'd like to walk you through our Q3 results. Total solar module shipments were 2.95 gigawatts, up 6% sequentially and up 24% year-over-year. Total revenue was $975 million, up 11% sequentially. The sequential increase was due to the strong solar module shipments. Gross profit was $145 million compared to $110 million in Q2, thanks to the increase in shipment of solar modules and a CVD reversal. The gross profit in Q3 includes the benefits of CVD reversal of $20 million based on the final results in the administrative review published by the U.S. Department of Commerce. Gross margin was 14.9% or 12.8%, excluding the CVD reversal benefit, compared to 12% in Q2. We achieved a higher gross margin through a combination of our diversified strong global sales and continued cost reduction. The operating expenses represented 12.1% of total revenue compared to 10.4% in Q2. The increase is due to the increase of shipping cost as a percentage of revenue with lower ASP and more module shipments out of China. We also invested more efforts on the sales and marketing efforts to solidify our leading brand. Net exchange gain was $14 million compared to $3 million in Q2 due to the continued RMB depreciation against the U.S. dollar. EBITDA was $74 million compared to $59 million in Q2. Net income significantly increased to $27.5 million compared to $15 million in Q2. Non-GAAP net income was $30 million. This translates into non-GAAP diluted earnings per ADS of 76 cents. Now, moving to the balance sheet. The company had $442 million in cash equivalents, and restricted cash compared to $387 million at the end of Q2. the accounts receivables were $955 million, down from $1.1 billion at the end of Q2. Inventories were $810 million, down from $890 million at the end of Q2. The total debt was $1.4 billion compared to $1.4 million at the end of Q2. Overall, we closed Q3 in a strong result. Our leading market position, outstanding product, and strong execution continued to strengthen our competitiveness. At this moment, we're happy to take your questions. Operator?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to queue for a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Again, if you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Your first question comes from Maheep from Credit Suisse. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hey, good evening, and thanks for taking questions. To start with, could you talk about the earnings impact from the CVD reversal in the quarter, and how should we think about CVD reversal in Q4 and 2019?
So, Mahab, this is Charlie, and for the CVD reversal, in general, it's specific one-time situations. It's related to the 2015 regarding our countervailing duty we paid, and based on the final result announced by the U.S. Department of Commerce in July this year, and we chewed up the impact. It's the impact to the Q3 is around $20 million, but if you look at the impact to the net income, you need to think about the tax impact, which is around 25% in the U.S. So, for Q3, the impact is to the gross profit, the impact is $20 million, and to the net income impact is around $15 million. And looking to the Q4, it's a very special situation. The U.S. Department of Commerce has cut down the rate, the anti-dumping countervailing rate again in October. So the impact is it's around $9 million and in Q4, and we are going to record the impact in Q4 this year. But looking to the 2019, we don't expect any, the same kind of the one-time countervailing duty reversal next year.
Got that, and that's $9 million gross profit impact, right, in Q4?
Yeah, in Q4, and yeah, you're right.
Looking at the OPEX in the quarter, it increased, and I think in the prepared remarks, you talked about higher shipment expense. Could you just talk about what drove that higher shipment expense, and how should we think about that in Q4 in 2019?
The operating expenses is kind of combination of two factors. One is the shipping cost, which is higher than Q4 because we have 80% shipments out of China, and particularly we have strong shipments in the long distance area like the Latin America, in United States and Middle East. The shipping cost is relatively higher, and the second one is we invested a lot of big amount on the marketing and the sales side, and which we don't expect it's standard numbers. So looking to next quarter, we expect the operating expenses as a percentage of revenue is in a range of 10% to 11% compared to 12% this quarter.
God, that's interesting. And so regarding your marketing and sales, could you talk about the new geographies you have invested in or where you see more demand coming in next year?
Yeah, I think the prepared remarks from Jenner is talking about we are optimistic on the 2019 demands from global as well as China. China is expecting new China policies coming out by the end of the year. And the second one is we are seeing a lot of demands from, because of the great priorities, it's becoming more competitive from which is going to create a lot of demands from other countries.
Good then. And just one last question for me and then jump back into the queue. So the upper end of the guidance was reduced by 200 megawatts. Could you talk about what drove that guidance reduction for 2018? Is it just weaker demand, weaker than expected demand in Q4, or more shipments to the downstream business? Or and also on that, can you talk about any cancellations or in your book? Module shipments.
I think it's purely the issue of the capacity, and the demand is pretty strong, and we are seeing strong demand even in China, and we are not able to have sufficient capacity to meet the demands from customers, and so back to the question, it's because we have limited capacity, and we have turned down some, customer orders. So that is the reason we adjust slightly, for the fourth quarter shipments.
So actually, I think this is General Mahip. I think the guidance is still within the lower end of our previous guidance, which is 11.5 to 12 gigawatts. So we are at the lower end. The bottleneck, as Charlie just mentioned, is because, the limited capacity we have, but we have to push away a lot of customers' inquiries and orders right now. So we don't see any cancellation, and vice versa, we have to push away some of the customers' strong demand.
Well, no, thanks, Charlie. Thanks, Jenna.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Philip from Roth Capital Partners. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the questions. On your last conference call for Q2, you highlighted that margins should be more than 15% in the back half of the year. Without the $20 million CBD reversal benefit, you guys delivered 12.8%. So what happened there? Was it a case of ASPs kind of coming in lower than expected, or did costs go higher than expected? So what happened in Q3? Thanks.
Yeah. Philip, it's a good question. We did, expect, 15% gross margin in the third quarter, excluding the CVD reversals. But when we reflect our results in the Q3, I think it's a result of three factors. The first factor is we shift around 20% shipments in China in Q3. And after the main, the China new policies, China demand is pretty low, and the price is dropping down dramatically than what we expected. And the second one is we have been working very hard on the cost reduction side, and we have achieved around 10% cost improvement in Q3. But some of the cost improvement impact were not reflected in Q3 results because it's recorded on the inventory side, which is, carried forward to the fourth quarter. The third one is, we forecast our gross margin based on the exchange rate, which is 6.9 RMB against US dollars. And if you look at our financial statements, we recorded around 50 million US dollars in exchange gain, and which are expected reflected in the gross margin in the fourth quarter. So it's three factor driven, and lower ASP in China, and some cost reduction efforts reflected in the inventory, not in the cost of goods sold. So about is the currency, it's recorded not in the gross profits, recorded on below the operating income line, but will be reflected in Q4.
Okay, that's a lot of good color. Thank you, Charlie. So looking ahead to Q4, do you see potential for 15% gross margin still, or because of so I guess the question is, what is the outlook for margins in Q4, and then one on ASPs, we had I think forecasted 35 cents, and now I think we're calculating 33 cents. So can you share what the Q3 ASP is for Q3, and also what you expect for Q4?
So let me pick up the ASP question first. So Q3 ASP is let's say decreased slightly compared with Q2, and we don't disclose the detailed numbers, but what we can see is a single digit decrease compared with Q2 ASP.
Yeah, especially considering, this is Sebastian, especially considering the impact of the new policy in China. In fact, we compare our ISP with our peers, this pace of decreasing, we think it's already very good.
And for the gross margin, I just want to take conservative approach, because the demand is pretty strong, and the material cost, for the production, material cost are not expected to go down as quick as we anticipated. So for the gross margin, we expect, excluding the CVD reversal, on quarter-over-quarter basis, it's quite stable.
Okay, so stable with Q3. Great. And, we're seeing one of your peers, staying on the topic of margins, being able to generate 20-plus percent gross margins. Can you, they're kind of talking about how they're highlighting and focusing on higher margins and lower volume. It's not, from your situation, you might be choosing some more volume over the margin. So help us understand how you're thinking about that volume versus, margin equation, and why you're choosing the volume instead of the margin. Thanks.
Firstly, I think I don't want to comment on our peers' performance, but I know you are talking about our competitors, and they deliver I think the strong results, and but I think it's not sustainable, and but for the balance between the volume and gross profit, I think our priority is we want to deliver shareholder values, and we don't want to chase one-time, high profit, but we want to have the balance, and definitely we are not going to get a market share by sacrificing, our profitabilities. So, of course, there are a lot of works we are going to do. So, but we want to, have the balanced, volume against, our profitabilities.
Yeah, sorry, Phil, this is General. I, sorry to say, but I cannot agree with your statement saying that we have to sacrifice the volume against the margins. Actually, we are pretty confident we have the capability to deliver a good margins with great shipment numbers. That's what we are working hard on.
Great. Okay. Thank you for the caller. And then I'll shift over to China's outlook. I think you guys mentioned that you're confident in demand for next year, Chinese demand. You know, this year you mentioned, and we've seen demand thus far of about 35 gigawatts. So with about 10 gigawatts in Q4, you know, maybe we get 45 gigawatts this year for China. What do you expect with the potential NEA changes? How big could the Chinese demand be for 2019? I mean, could we see 55, could we see gigawatts? You know, what kind of volume do you expect for next year as a market overall?
Yeah, Phil, this is Jenner. I think, firstly, we all having such confidence about China market demand. That's the message we have got from the government meetings, from the, you know, from the governor meetings as well. So everyone in this industry, I think, share the same view. Regarding the detailed numbers, I think you're right. The first three quarters, China recorded around 35 gigawatt. There could be another approximately 10 gigawatt by Q4. That's adding up around 40 gigawatt-ish, 45 gigawatt-ish market size. For 2000, that's already, you know, that's already experienced a shakeout time by slow installation number in Q3 because of the new policy. By the after this new November policy meetings happened, I think everyone in this industry looks at China market as a promising market. The low number I heard or I hear is about, let's say, 55 gigawatt. That's back to the 2017 level. Even somebody saying up to 60 gigawatt level. But again, because the policy has not been finalized yet, I think it still takes some time to get into the detail of those policies, then it's quite challenging to forecast a detailed number. But the whole industry are forecasting the strong demand in China, not only for 2019, but also for the next even 3 years' time.
Great. That's helpful, Jenner. When could we get that information from the NEA? I'm hearing a number of things. It could be by the end of the year, but it could also be by Chinese New Year. Do you have any sense for when the details from the NEA could come out?
Well, let's say sometime between year end 2018 and Chinese New Year 2019, because, you know, the head of NEA China just changed. So I think the new head needs to take some time to pick it up, but I don't think it will change the direction. So it will come.
Yes. Okay. This is Sebastian. And NEA this time, first, like Jenner said, there's a transition time for NEA leadership. Second is that I think this time, from what we heard, they will issue the policies state by state, because, you know, there are different sections of solar project, or we say different type of solar project in China. So this time they will announce for each section probably state by state. For example, they may announce top runner project plan first, and maybe see some you know, reaction of the market. Then they will announce new subsidized project plan for next year, and probably then rooftop project. So it won't be, you know, just one time announcement. So they will do it state by state.
Okay, great. Sebastian, Jenner, and Charlie, thank you very much. I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from William from UBS. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. My first question was just, I was wondering if you could give us an update on the ramp of the Florida module assembly facility. And is that, you know, running in line with your expectations at this point?
Yeah, it's on schedule, and we have started the pilot operation for the Florida factories, and we expect to ramp up the factory to full capacity in the early next year.
Got it. Thank you. And then my next question was just on, how do you think about your concentration of key markets going forward? You guys used to be heavily weighted towards shipments to China. Now that's, in the third quarter, more heavily weighted towards emerging markets. So, in 2019, are you expecting to shift back to a higher concentration of China's shipments, or do you expect to remain more diversified?
Yeah, I think this is Gener. I think it's a great question. From the strategy-wise, JinkoSolar has always been doing its best to, let's say, to spread the risk into different markets. As I talked previously, we try to avoid rely on a single market risk. And that's why the weight of the, for example, China shipment weight in Jinko keep decreasing from last year to this year. And if we look into the chart I have, China only ranked across all the regions I have, China only ranked the number three. So the emerging market, which is a totally new market, becomes the largest portion of the shipment in Q3. Actually, that's the direction we are working on. In Q3, we have covered almost 80 countries, over 80 countries shipment in Q4. In Q4, we will continue to ship another, I think, 80, even 90 countries shipment. That's the way we are trying to diversify the risk, and that's the continuous job we were doing. We will continue to deliver to our shareholders in 2019 as well. So just give you a sense, the largest market we have is the largest single country we have is below 20% shipment in Q3.
That's helpful. Thank you, guys.
Sorry. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from John from Luminus. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a couple questions if I could real quick. First off, what's the expectation for CapEx for fourth quarter and then for 2019 as you guys continue your growth plan?
John, this is Charlie. And for the CapEx, and we disclosed in the presentation, PPT, and it's divided by the module business and the international projects we are, constructing. And for the module business and for Q4, it's around, I think, $50 to $60 million. And for 2019, we are still budgeting the CapEx next year. It's going to take a very conservative and prudent approach. And we don't expect significant investment in 2019. Our focus is to work with our strategic suppliers to deliver high-quality products to our customers. And we're expecting to announce the CapEx next year in next earning call.
Okay, great. And then can you guys give us a sense maybe what poly price is flowing through the three-quarter results and kind of what you think poly price flowing through fourth quarter would look like?
Poly price dropping a lot after May, for the new China policies. And in Q3, I think it's around $9 to $10 per kilo for multi and mono. And the Q4, we expect the poly price to be stable because of the volume from the new capacity is very limited, and the new capacity is in the ramping up stage. And next year, Q1, we expect the new capacity ramping up to full volume, and it may be, the poly price will be down a little bit in Q1 next year.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Brad from Williams Trading. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking it. When you talk about property, I
Pardon the interruption, Brad. Your line is coming in and out.
Hey, Brad.
For that. Important is first flow generation.
Operator?
Operating.
Operator?
Yes?
Yeah, the reception is not very good. We cannot hear what Brad says.
I agree. Brad, are you able to hear us? Your line is coming in and out. We're unable to hear or understand what your question is for our speakers today. Can you try and repeat your question? My apologies, everyone. Brad seems to have disconnected his call. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 02. Your next question comes from Gordon from Bloomberg. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the question. Can you guys maybe talk a little bit about the Japanese market? There was some news out of Japan last week around the potential for cuts to incentives for projects that have not proceeded ahead with construction. Can you talk about what your plans are in the Japanese market, if you currently have any exposure there, and what your view is on how that could potentially adversely or positively affect demand in Japan? And I have a follow-up.
Yeah, thank you for your question. This is Jenna. I think that's a very interesting question. If you overlook the global PV market, you will see all the major markets are moving to the direction of the grid parity. Especially, I think the Japanese market is one of the very few markets who are still, implementing the feed-in tariff policy. But we have seen that they are trying to transit from the feed-in tariff-driven policy into this auction or PPA auction-based market segment. And with the new government intention of this construction limits and the time limits, I think that will steadily help the market transit. However, the Japanese market has some traditions that the PPAs always take a long time to implement. And even by now, you will see lots of old-time PPAs on this market. So personal view is the Japanese market transition will take a while. However, it will come for this PPA-based auction or the, let's say, feed-in tariff-free market for Japan.
Okay, that's helpful. And then just taking a step back, looking at what China has done thus far this year, year-to-date, we're just under 36 gigawatts of installations. I think I would argue even the bulls out there had China for the full year at 36 gigawatts. So China is going to surprise, I would argue, significantly to the upside on installations. Yet despite that fact, ASPs in China are down roughly 33% year-to-date. Globally, ASPs are down just under 30% year-to-date. So it seems like the price pressure was still robust despite the fact that China is going to surprise to the upside. So can you guys give us your expectation on kind of where prices are headed? Are we going to see this steady bleed in prices continue, or do you guys see a stabling out point at some point out there for prices of modules?
Yeah, sure. I think China market, the main reason why China market is so sensitive about the pricing is really because first, it's very close to all the major manufacturing. The shipping time, the transportation time is much shorter compared with, for example, U.S. or Europe or all the other major markets. So that's why it's highly sensitive. Anything happened from upstream to downstream, the information, transfers very rapidly. That's why, the market price changed so fast and rapid. And back to your question regarding the future market pricing, we see, market pricing start to differentiate because the project segment are different. For example, if you go to this high-end project, like the top-end projects, those high-end products are really short of supply. The ASP, the margins, all the financial numbers in that segment looks much better compared with other markets. And then if you look into the other segments, such as the poverty alleviation projects, you know, they really care about this, let's say, the kilowatt hour generated and also the delivery timing together with the pricing. So they are quite sensitive about the whole economics. And the last big segment will be the grid parity projects, or that's the latest, let's say, latest announcement, policy-driven market. And those market are, the investors are really getting rid of those, the old-time philosophy of price-driven. They're really looking to the benefit of the good product, high-end product together with the economics. So that will be a balance. In my view, in long term, China market will become much more rational because of the grid parity in the, let's say, right now in some provinces and very soon in most of the area in China.
Okay, and then just a couple of points of clarification. A couple of points of clarification. You guys said the cost was down sequentially in the quarter. The ASP was down sequentially in the quarter. If you could, guys could give any more clarity around, specificity around those. And then also, you said you had this one-time benefit in the quarter from the CBD reversal. Just correct me if I'm wrong. That was a benefit from a reversal in 2015. And thanks for the questions, guys.
I think, you know, Golden, just said, you know, from a cost perspective, we improved our costs by around 10% in Q3, quarter over quarter. So you can calculate the movement, you know, for the ASP side. And for the CBD reversal, it was around $20 million impact in Q3.
Okay, and that CBD reversal was from 2015?
Yes, it's 2015, and it's related to the countervailing duty we paid for the module shipped in 2015 from China to the U.S. market.
And then just lastly, on the ASP, did you guys give any clarity on the percent decline of the ASP or the absolute amount decline?
No, we don't disclose this accurate numbers. Yes.
But we can see that the ASP, decreasing of ASP, definitely is smaller than the our cost cutting.
Actually, one just last one, if I could. Just on OPEX. The OPEX was up sequentially in the quarter. As we look to 2019, I know this may not be an easy question to answer, but should we assume a similar weight of OPEX in 2019 as you guys focus more on international markets, or do you think you're going to shift back to your traditional Chinese market share?
I think for the market distribution side, we will continue to focus on this balanced market shipments. We will not rely on a single market risk, even because the market, you know, goes up and down all time long. So we will try to get the best distribution portion in 2019.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Scott from Citigroup. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my question. I have a few questions about the order book and also the margin outlook. I would like to understand more about the order book in the first half of 2019. Because I know that second half of 2019 is going to be quite good, but how is the visibility now in the first
Scott, could you speak up? We cannot hear you clearly.
Can you be louder?
Hello. I just want to ask about the order book in first quarter. How is the visibility now?
Yeah, so
Hello?
From the market demand side, we continue to be very optimistic, as we stated previously in the statement. And
yep.
We see the market demand is stronger even than 2018. Our order book are pretty well positioned. And I think we will discuss more in our next earnings. But right now, we are sitting in a pretty good position for 19 order book. And we feel very confident about the growing market demand next year.
Yes, Scott, this is Sebastian. Not only Q1, but like Jenna said, in fact, we have already have a good visibility of for the whole year 2019. That's very good for us.
Okay. Understood. So you're not too worried about the demand in first quarter, in this case.
Not at all.
Okay, sure. Thank you. And also about the split between mono and multi. Can understand the breakdown between these two technologies in third quarter, and also how is your expectation in the future quarters?
For the poly portions and the mono portions, actually, they are pretty close in the third quarters. Let's say around the 45 to 55 range.
Okay, so 45 multi and 55 mono?
Well, 55 poly, 45 mono.
Okay, sure. All right, thank you. So do you expect the mono share will continue to increase?
Yeah, so we from the marketing side, we focus on more, let's say, higher end products. That's the direction we are moving on. That's we will see, you know, the portion of the mono will continue to increase by 2019.
Okay. How much maybe on the bifacial module side? How much percentage do we expect? Maybe in 2019.
2019, right?
Yeah.
Well, right now it's hard to say because right now the only massive application for bifacial we are working on is the China Top Runner program. We have seen a strong market, let's say, interest from a customer end, but right now not many has determined or make up their mind to decide to buy those products. But we see that the future products, but it still needs a long time to justify itself in the market.
Yes, and like Jenna said, bifacial for us is not difficult. We are fully prepared for the increased market share for bifacial. We just wait for the market to be educated and more mature.
Okay, thank you. And my last question is about the gross margin outlook for fourth quarter, because I see that the spot price is now dropping by another 20%. So you just mentioned that you guys have done like 10% decline in cost reduction, but just wonder if do you have other plans in Q4 in order to match the price decline?
Okay, so our first question for you is, so what do you mean by another 20% compared to...
Yeah, because I just calculated that the third quarter ASP should be around low 30s, but in the spot price now, I think it's around maybe 25 cents, 26 cents. So just want to know if that is the ASP in Q4, then how would the cost reduction be like?
Yeah, from the market pricing side, I rarely see the numbers you mentioned. Maybe in some special cases, in some special markets, there it appears in some tier, let's say tier 3, even tier 4 players. But right now, because of the, you know, short of supply right now, I think the market price even goes up somehow by Q4, end of Q4, because of short supply and a strong demand from China, last-minute rush. So that's why I see the market price is not dropping that much. Maybe someone is expecting that, but that doesn't happen.
And also, Scott, probably you are only a couple for some, like Jenna said, low-end product and probably multi-product. But you have to remember Jinko sells a lot of high-efficiency product, mono-perk and other, you know, high-efficiency products. So it's not just a simple calculation from the, one region and for one particular product type. So, yeah, definitely. My point is definitely we don't say 20% down from Q3. That's definitely not true.
Okay, understood. Okay, thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks.
There are currently no more questions in queue. I'd like to hand the call over back to Sebastian for his closing remarks. Please go ahead, Sebastian.
On behalf of the entire Jinkosolar's management team, I want to thank you for your interest and participation on this call. If you have further questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us. Have a good day and a good evening. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you, Sebastian. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for your participation. You may all now disconnect.